Sportsnet 650.
It was a crazy night of soccer. We bring in a Sportsnet soccer analyst. He is James Sharman, making his debut appearance here in the program with Walker Rentoul. How are you?
Walker, I don't believe for a second you weren't invested in the Panama-Costa Rica match.
Hey, you don't know me. Right, you're just upset because I traded in my TFC kit for a lovely Whitecaps one. That's
and you sent me the picture as well to prove it, didn't you?
it's still tight, not as tight as the Toronto FC jersey.
But to
your point though, of course, like of course I'm not. Oh, I got to watch this Panama game. But then things start to go. And you hear these reports of, you know, if this thing happens and this thing's happened in the second half of these games, the U.S. World Cup bid is in big time jeopardy. And who would have thought it? Like, it wasn't going to work out.
It was great theater, wasn't it? And you know, watching the U.S. game, or even watching the South American games too, Argentina in danger last night as well. You're watching those broadcasts and they're flashing in these split screens of so many different games and different permutations, and right now the live tables, who's in, who's out. It's just fantastic. And, you know, having sat through European qualifying the last year or so, and we covered it on Sportsnet, there was some drama, there's no doubt, but nothing quite like what we saw last night in CONCACAF and in CONMEBOL as well. It was fantastic. And, yeah, you're right, that the States entered that game speaking, you know, saying the right things, that they were pretty confident. I heard a number of reporters and experts on other radio shows and podcasts saying, oh, you know, it's a bit tight, but it's a done deal. It's inevitable. We will qualify. So there's an arrogance hanging over the whole thing. And then to see what happened to lose to Trinidad and Tobago, just a bad team, the worst team in the hex, or so we thought, beat them in this game where they just had to get a point, one draw would be enough. What was incredible.
It was so incredible. And you mentioned CONMEBOL. Lionel Messi was incredible yesterday as well. We can talk about that in a minute. But back to the U.S. men's national team, there are plenty of people with plenty of opinions about what went wrong. In your opinion, what is the biggest problem with U.S. soccer leading up to this?
Yeah, well, I mean, the signs have been there for a while. You know, in recent years, at the youth team level, not as strong as in the past. I think they failed to qualify for the last two Olympic Games, which is under 23 level. You know, are the pathways in place to see, you know, kids find their way through the grassroots system into the top leagues? You know, you get the odd player here and there, but it hasn't been that many, that fruitful in recent years. And this current team, you know, qualifying from day one was not good. Some bad results, some bad performances against Costa Rica, for example. You know, the signs were there that this wouldn't be an automatic qualification, as we've seen in previous years, where, you know, frankly, it hasn't been difficult to qualify for a World Cup for the U.S. team or for even Mexico. CONCACAF isn't a particularly strong region. So I think that the problems go way up the chain, you know, to the top people who are trying to, I guess, build and construct these pathways, which is much what we're seeing here in Canada as well in many ways. You know, there's a lot of money in U.S. soccer. I think they pull in about $100 million a year. Is it being invested right? It seems to be a bit of an old boys network, to be honest with you, at the top of U.S. soccer at the moment. It has been that way for some time. And, you know, we've seen a lot of people today reporting how that has to change. The new faces, new blood, you know, calling the shots for U.S. soccer. So I think it's like any major nation, any major sport. You know, when things go wrong, there's lots of fingers pointing at lots of people. And there's lots of reasons, not just one reason why it didn't work out. But I think when you look at this current generation of players, some of these guys, you know, are considered a golden generation, and they have not got the job done.
I'm going to make a comparison for people in this market that they can relate to. 3 years ago, the Canucks made the playoffs, and the 2 years that followed proved that that year was an anomaly, and they actually fooled themselves to a certain extent as to what they were. Did the U.S. soccer program fool itself by what happened in Brazil?
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, there is a mention before that word arrogance. There's an arrogance around it. I mean, in Brazil, they got to the knockout phase. You know, they probably shouldn't have got that far. You know, that they faced some teams who really underperformed in the group phase. In that Belgium game, I mean, that was one of the moments against U.S. soccer. You know, Belgium, a much better team than the States are on paper. But there's been this hype building for so long that we are the U.S. We should be qualifying for World Cups. You know, we are on the cusp of taking the next big step. You know, wait, why? I don't see the evidence of that. I really don't. The quality just isn't there right now. There's some really good players. Don't get me wrong. Christian Pulisic is going to be a superstar in the World game. It's a real shame he won't be at the World Cup for all of the States to see what he can do. You know, Michael Bradley is a very, very good player. Josie Altidore, a very, very good player. You know, Clint Dempsey's done it and some pretty big clubs in his career as well. But something just didn't click right now. And I think a lot of people, a lot of the fan base just assumed that this team is the US, right? They're easy qualified. Why not? They've done it since 1998. And I think the arrogance has really blinded and blinkered the people that run the game in that country.
James Sharman joins us, Sports at 650 Vancouver. It is the program with Walker and Rintoul. I'm sure you've heard both types of opinions. There are people, I've fallen into this category or this trap, I guess, if you want to call it, that kind of revel whenever sports teams from the States kind of fall on their faces nationally. I kind of like it. But at the same time, as someone that saw, you know, how the MLS has progressed in Toronto and how it's progressing here in Vancouver, the league's getting bigger. The U.S. not in the World Cup also is, it's a blow, isn't it? It's a blow for soccer in this continent.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's definitely a setback, but you know, I'm reading some people on Twitter and they're using these terms, devastation, and oh, it's going to cripple North American soccer. And, you know, the apocalypse isn't coming, people. We're going to be okay over here. Yeah, you know what? The U.S. soccer program will lose a fair bit of money. There's going to be a lot of commercial deals that won't be triggered now because they didn't make the World Cup. Obviously, Fox, who have the rights to this World Cup, will be, you know, beside themselves. You know, certainly there won't be a new element of fans, you know, learning the game and being exposed to the game next summer as they were done before. But it's going to be okay. Teams don't qualify for tournaments. Obviously, as North America, we kind of see ourselves as one, you know, us in the States and, you know, Mexico trying to grow the game and make that next big step. But really, let's break it up here. You know, this is, from Canada's standpoint, they're hated rivals. They're arch nemesis for so many years. I understand why Canadian fans might be a little bit, ooh, you know, what does that mean for North America? They should be happy right now, quite frankly. They should be like, just enjoy this for a little bit. Like you said, Andrew, enjoy it for a little bit here. You know, the big monster has been slayed, at least for one cycle anyway. It's not the worst thing in the world. You know, I'm amazed by the fallout on Twitter right now from Canadian fans saying, oh, this is the worst thing in the world. Like, no, it's not.
Good. Good. I'm glad you share. I'm glad you're allowing me to revel in the state setback.
100%.
That feels good.
Yeah, exactly. I think Canadian fans were so, you know, self-loathing and so jaded over the years that we forget that sometimes. I think we can at least smile a little bit here and then think, we'll be okay. Yeah, it's a bit of a setback financially, perhaps, and exposure-wise, but North American soccer will be just fine.
Well, because 1986 rings a bell in the ear of the Canadian soccer fan, right? That's the last time the U.S.
Yeah.
missed, and it's the last time and only time Canada has ever been to the World Cup, and you see a country like Iceland qualifying, a revelation at the Euros, and they follow it up by becoming the smallest country ever to qualify for the World Cup. What should Canada soccer take from what Iceland has done?
Yeah, it's a great point. And I think a lot of nations right now are saying, man, why can't we do what Iceland did? It's probably not quite that easy. Iceland, you know, they reinvented themselves a few years back. They began investing in coaching and putting, you know, better fields and more fields across the country. You know, this is a, you know, obviously a winter sport loving country, but they love their soccer as well. There's still, I think, a soccer culture there, perhaps more so than we have over here. But they invested at the grassroots level, and you know, I forget the actual numbers, but they've got an enormous number of coaches, qualified coaches per population. You know, it's amazing, really, and that's what Canada needs to do. And they realize that they've got their long-term planning. They understand they've got to educate the coaches, and that's for me the number one thing. Get the coaches in place. Get these, you know, it's all very well having volunteer parents, you know, running your kids' team. It's great. They're really important. But, you know, I've had my kid out, you know, for runarounds at certain leagues here in Toronto. And, you know, with respect to the coaches, they haven't got a clue. They don't know what they're doing. And they admit it. They're there just to help the kids. And I think you've got to step up and start educating those people at that level and starting that level, you know, to improve the quality in this country. We'll get there, you know. But, you know, there's a sport still very much in its infancy here in Canada. And I think we forget that sometimes. It's a new sport, really, especially, you know, the last 10 years, even with the expansion of MLS north of the border. You know, it's a new sport. We're not a soccer culture just yet, but we will get there. But don't expect it to happen overnight.
James Sharman joins us, Sportsnet soccer analyst. And I know you're desperate to give us your Canucks thoughts. So we'll get to that. But your Whitecaps thoughts, I'll tell you what, I move here and they've lost, I think, one or two games since then, and they've gone to the top of the table in the West, and could still get that bye in the first round of the MLS playoffs, which would be huge. How do you see Vancouver stacking up? in the West. I mean, much like Toronto has been unbelievable this season in the East.
Yeah, well, you know, can you imagine that the year that the U.S. failed to qualify for the World Cup, that we see Vancouver against Toronto in the MLS Cup final?
Yes, I can't imagine. It would be fantastic.
It would be incredible, wouldn't it? It would be a victory for Canadian soccer. And you know what? Who knows? That could happen. Vancouver, I'm a huge fan of Carl Robinson. I really, and I've known the guy for a number of years. He used to be on my show years ago on The Score quite regularly as a player at TFC. He's always a thinking man's footballer. Very, very thoughtful, understood the game, and was very ambitious about learning more about the game. I remember he went off to Wales, actually, for a while, to just a kind of shadow and, you know, look up to the Welsh national coach at the time, learn his training methods. So to see what he's done now coming into MLS, I think it's a fantastic story. And you hear Robbo talk nowadays, he's really confident in the way he talks. He speaks and sounds like a real gaffer, as I say in football, a real football manager. And I think that confidence has really increased the last couple of years. And this Vancouver team, listen, you know, you're playing really well. You're first in the West right now. There's no reason why you can't stay there with two games left. Freddie Montero comes in. You know, he's a stud. You know, he may not be considered one of the superstars of the league just yet, but he's an absolute stud. They've gone through adversity. They lose Matias Labo, of course, midseason, who's one of the most underrated players in all of MLS. And they don't really miss a beat. So I think Vancouver's got a very good chance to do very well in the playoffs. And like I said, I would love to see a Toronto-Vancouver final. I think it'd be great for Canadian soccer. And I'm not sure MLS would appreciate it too much, mind you. I mean, the viewing figures, the south of the border may not be too great, but let's keep our fingers crossed and hope so.
One last Whitecaps note before we let you go. Kendall Waston scores just a massive goal for Costa Rica to send them through to the World Cup. Jordy Reyna has been playing for Peru. They're going to rejoin this Whitecaps team for the final two regular season games and, of course, the playoffs. What do they bring back with them?
Yeah, I think actually, didn't Kendall Waston get a new rating on FIFA on the video game as well? He's now some, I forget how to do it, some legend figure now in qualifying. You know, obviously, what they bring is leadership, isn't it? And experience. You know, they've been there in the high leverage situations. They've shown that throughout qualifying. It's a huge bonus for this Whitecaps team whose depth gets better and better. And with players like that, you know, patrolling the back four, I think it's a huge bonus. And I think that will keep them in good stead throughout the playoffs, because playoffs is about defense, right, more than goal scoring.
He is James Sharman. He joins us in the program with Walker and Rintoul. Canucks, not undefeated, but 3 points through two games. Are they going to surprise?
Well, I mean, obviously,
what do you think?
They're still being overshadowed, you know, by that team out east here, right? They're just absolutely bossing the entire NHL at the moment. So you can have your Canucks, and I always appreciate the Canucks. Even though one of my earliest memories of watching hockey was Pavel Bure destroying the Leafs in the conference finals back in, was it 94? I think
yeah,
it was.
That's true. Yeah, correct.
And I hold a grudge. I do hold a grudge. But I think the Canucks are surprising, aren't they, Andrew? Finally, I get my hockey segment, eh? After all these years.
I know. Hey, we were, listen, we were
years to do this.
Matter of time. It was a matter of time.
People in the West are nicer, James. We make more time for those we care about.
I hear that. That's nice, yeah. Man. I appreciate it.
Hey, enjoy your evening, and we'll talk to you again real soon. Thank you.
Thanks, fellas. Anytime.
Talk to you later. That is James Sharman. Sportsnet 650.